Good morning and welcome to Building a European Cultural Backbone. At this hackathon and conference, we are talking about the main building blocks of a social, of a civil society media infrastructure. The first day highlighted metadata modeling and replication engines. Yesterday we had the main topic was exchange protocols, and we had presentations of Matrix, ActivityPub, search engines, and recommendation engines. So there's another building block quite important for this civil society media infrastructures, and it's language tools, and that's the main topic for today. So before we start with the first talk, I wanted to give an overview of the program of today. So the first presentation is about European language grid, followed by open audio search at 11 a.m. We have, after the lunch break at 1 p.m., that's the presentation from Eurovox, followed by the Austrian language project T-Alp at 2 p.m. And the last talk from 3:15 to 4 p.m. is called Challenging Workflows, a FLOSS Approach. You can find the detailed program at the conference webpage at cba.media/labs-conference. There you also find links to resources and the link to the Matrix channel where you can participate in discussion. So let's start with the first talk. Welcome, Remy Calizzano and Georg Rehm. They are from the German Research Center for Artificial Intelligence, and they will present the project European Language Grid. Thanks and welcome.
Great, thanks very much for the introduction. Before my colleague Remy will go into technical details, I would like to give you a brief overview of what European Language Grid is. I will try to be short. It's one of my favorite topics, so maybe if I'm slightly overdoing it in terms of details, then I'd be happy about a sign after 20 minutes so that Remy can take over with the technical presentation. So our point of departure, which is inherent in the topic of the European cultural backbone, there are other words for this concept, the European digital public sphere or the European media platform. And the language component comes in because of our setup in Europe, which is, of course, driven by multilingualism. Multilingualism in Europe has a specific status. All of our languages are considered equal. They are all at the same status. They are all operating at eye level. Very good decision by the founders of the European Union to do that, not to have this one language that everybody needs to speak and that is a prerequisite for participation. That would have been a bad idea. Instead, we have a good setup. We have, in addition to the official European Union languages, we have dozens of co-official regional and minority languages. We have languages of immigrants, trade partners, and various others. And this setup, of course, creates quite a few challenges, economic challenges, social challenges, and technical challenges, especially in our context today. Cross-border, cross-lingual, and cross-cultural communication. We've been working on this topic, and I've been working on this topic since about 2010 with a number of European initiatives that mainly revolve around the aspect of enabling multilingualism and boosting and supporting multilingualism through language technologies. You see the main logos here on the slide, which is getting crowded. And this culminated recently into our most recent project, European Language Grid, which started in 2019 and which ends in about 5 weeks. Yeah, so June 22 is the end of that project. And I will also briefly, very, very briefly talk about European Language Equality, which is a sister project that looks at the strategic aspect. I want to briefly highlight this document and a few others. On the European Union level, the Parliament in September 2018 passed this document called Language Equality in the Digital Age with a landslide vote, 592 yes votes, only 45 no votes, that suggested to the European Commission to do something, to create a European language technology platform for sharing of services, to enable and empower European SMEs to use language technologies like machine translation and summarization and speech recognition and speech generation and many, many others. And in total, these 45 recommendations still hold. They are still relevant, and many of them still need to be fulfilled. Maybe you're wondering what the connection is to the European digital public sphere. We first discussed and described this concept in a rough way in our first strategic document that we published in 2013, the one on the left. That was the very first strategic research agenda for Multilingual Europe 2020. It's already past 2020 already now. Yeah, so this document, again, is 10 years old, the one on the left. And in this document, we already sketched what we now perceive as the European digital public sphere or platform. Later on, the document on the right, I'm sure you know this, I participated a little bit in the preparation of this document, which made it a bit more concrete, the European public sphere document by Henning Kagermann and Ulrich Wilhelm by Arcatech. And what I did last year, no, that's not true, May 2020, it says, I supported the European Parliament by putting together this in-depth analysis for the CULT committee, the use of AI and the audiovisual sector. In terms of methodology, I looked at the current state of play, different needs that we have in Europe, different initiatives, and I conducted about 30 expert interviews, collected all the different opinions and put them into 10 key findings, and the paper concludes with 4 recommendations, which I put on the slide here. And the third recommendation, I guess, looks quite familiar, to support the European digital public space vision or European media platform. The name itself doesn't matter. What matters is that we finally do it. And this combination of using AI, language data, language technologies, machine learning, together with the needed technical infrastructure that we would need, of course, to build this, this is exactly at this intersection where European Language Grid comes in. So European project, the biggest, I think it's still the biggest EU project on language technologies. Main goal is to establish the European Language Grid as the primary platform for language technologies and also marketplace in Europe to tackle the fragmentation that we have in this space in Europe. That means in the space of research groups, technical providers, suppliers of language technologies. We have about 1,000 companies, so roughly 1,000 companies in Europe that develop these technologies. We have about 800 research groups. There's lots and lots of fragmentation, and we are trying to bring the whole community together under this one virtual roof. The project timeline, as you can see, we are approaching the end of the project. Month 42 will be June 2022, and we are now preparing the final platform release. So just to briefly, on a high level, illustrate what this is, European Language Grid is supposed to be a joint umbrella platform for both research and industry. So we have developers of language technologies, companies, universities, research centers, in total round about 1800, together with the AI startups, maybe round about 2000 already in Europe only. They have data, they have tools, in all shapes, sizes, and flavors. And the idea is to make available all of these different resources through a one-stop shop, the European Language Grid. So the idea is to collect all of this, to have these different organizations participate actively in ELG so that others can discover, test, integrate, and use these resources through ELG. And these are the users and consumers of language technologies, such as the European cultural backbone or the European digital public space. European digital public sphere, and likewise hundreds of thousands of other organizations. Yeah, we want to enable them to discover, download, purchase, use language technologies and language resources, among others, through the ELG Python SDK, through the web UI, and Remi Calizano will talk about this in more detail later. Technically, I just heard the keywords metadata and descriptions and so on. Yeah, so we also know a few things about metadata because, of course, we use them for the description of our resources within ELG. We have a sophisticated, semantically rich metadata scheme in ELG and the platform that drives everything from various resources or from various repositories, which are indicated here in the slide, like Hugging Face and ELRA and ELRC Share and MetaShare and many others. We harvest on a regular basis their metadata inventories. And whenever there's something new, we also put it into ELG so that people can find it through ELG without having to go to all of these different repositories. So ELG is meant to be a joint technology platform for the whole European LT community. It's also meant to be a joint data tool and resource sharing platform. It's a marketplace for the whole European community and can also be considered the yellow pages of the European technology, language technology community, because we have also pages in ELG for all participants here, of course. Yeah, so bottom line is we want to make available all European language technologies and language resources in this one-stop shop. Current state of play, it's a few days old, this slide, but the numbers are still correct. About 12,000 resources by now, with slightly more than 6,000 corpora and data sets, about 3,000 tools. 770 of these tools are functional services directly within ELG. What that means is that we have these tools as Docker containers in ELG, and you can use them directly using an API from our cloud infrastructure. Yeah, so you point your call to a specific ID of a service and you send in, I don't know, Polish text, and you get back Maltese text from Polish Maltese translation, for example. And we have other resources as well. This is roughly what it looks like. I hope the video plays smoothly and nicely. Top left corner, we are browsing the ELG catalog. Top right corner, we found a right resource. We are downloading it now. This is a data set that we are downloading. Bottom left, we are using a machine translation service for German to English. And bottom right, this nifty graph interface here that shows a morphosyntactic analysis of raw text in the form of the universal dependency pipe developed by our friends in Prague at Charles University. Yeah, so we have a rich web-based UI that you can use to test services, but you can also use curl calls or any kind of API calls that are REST flavored. Yeah, so data consumers and service consumers can find the right resources and services through ELG. And if you happen to develop language technologies yourselves, then you can also make them available, of course, through ELG. Python SDK, I'm going to skip because Remy will talk about this in more detail. It's super easy. We have an SDK, and with two or three lines of Python code, then you can use different technologies, machine translation, speech recognition, summarization, political bias identification, credibility of online content computation, and so on and so forth. We primarily cater for companies that develop, integrate, or purchase language technologies on the commercial side, but also academically, universities and research centers, and we are trying to get in touch with as many organizations that need these technologies and want to use them as possible. Slightly older slide. Yeah, it's from January. The graph is going up. So in January, we had about 650 users already. The numbers are going up, and we are very, very happy that this is already, it's not quite the hockey stick just yet, but the numbers are going up. If you're interested in more, we've been, since 2010, we've been organizing a conference series called Meta Forum, and the next one will be in about 2 weeks in Brussels, June 8th. The date is wrong, it's June 8th and June 9th, where we will have the final conference of this EU project. So if you want to learn more details, even more details, then feel free to join us either virtually or in Brussels on site. We'd be happy to see you there. So you might be wondering what's happening after the end of the project. We will establish a legal entity, most likely an eingetragener Verein in Germany, that will take over operation and maintenance and extension of the platform after the end of the project. I would just want to very, very briefly mention this other project, and then I'm concluding and handing over to Remy. European language equality is a topic, or digital language equality is a topic that is by now quite important to the European Parliament, also to the European Commission, at least some colleagues in the Commission. The idea is that we want to have equal technology support of our languages in Europe. Yeah? By now, we still have a situation where English is supported by far the most, with the most technologies, the most data sets. Then we have a cluster of German, Spanish, French, which is with good support, and then a long tail of languages with very, very little support, and that's a problem. We are trying to find a solution for this in this other European project here, European Language Equality, in which we develop a strategic plan that we will hand over in a few weeks to the European Parliament and to the European Commission, how the European Union can become the first continent with full digital language equality. Yeah. So we are developing the strategic agenda. We developed different things, different concepts, different metrics. This is one of them, the digital language equality metric, which essentially, I'm skipping the details in the interest of time, in which we are trying to identify how well our different languages are supported through technologies. This is the current state of play here. Yeah, you can see the DLE metric score for English is extremely high. And then we have this group of three, German, Spanish, French, and then Finnish, Italian, Portuguese, Polish, Dutch, Swedish, Greek, and so on. And then towards the right, there are a couple of languages, many of which are very, very unknown even, because they are spoken by only a small number of people with zero support, and that is an issue. At the same time, we are looking at the social political context for the official European Union languages, for the official national languages without being an official EU language, and for regional and minority languages, which pinpoints, especially one of the key insights here is that especially the official national languages without official status for the EU and the regional and minority languages, they need more power, they need more political will, more funding, so that we can build technologies for these. If you want to know more, please stick around for Remy's part of the presentation. We have different scientific papers on the ELG platform. We are now finalizing the ELG book, which will be published with Springer in a few weeks. It's almost ready, and we have a good technical documentation. We have various support services online. We have social media channels that you can subscribe to. We have a tutorial video that introduces the main technical concepts. And with this, I think I will simply stop and hand over to Remy. And last teaser for the conference, metaforum.eu. You can also find the link on the ERG website. Feel free to register to come to Brussels to participate online. Participation is free, of course. Okay, Remy, over to you.
Thank you, Georg. Hello, everyone. I'm just waiting for the slides. Okay, perfect. You should be able to see my screen now. In the next 30 minutes, I will present you the EAG catalog, basically play with it, play with the resources it contains, and showcase you what you can do with the EAG catalog. Just to start, I will be quick because Georg already gave you the numbers, but in EAG we have many type of resources all related to language technology and resources. The three main ones are tools, services, and NLP APIs. We have now more than 3,000 of those. We also have datasets and corpora, more than 6,000. And we also have companies and research organizations. We did quite important work of gathering all those resources so that now in EAG we have most of the resources available in Europe. Also, what is important to know is that every EAG resource is under the hood a metadata schema. So you can so every EAG resource is described by a huge amount of information, and the EAG resources can also be linked to each other. So we will see that just later, but a service can be founded by an organization which is itself an EAG organization. And also, one of the most interesting features are those two. First of all, some datasets are directly hosted in the EAG infrastructure, so you can download them from the EAG website, and also some EAG services are deployed in the EAG infrastructure, so you can test them and run them directly inside EAG. Now, quickly, the catalog gather all those resources, and from the catalog, you can search for any type of language technology-related resources. We have various of facets, I will show that just later, and also to let you know, we have a user interface that I will show you, but we also have many APIs. So let's now dig into the catalog. So here we are in the live.europeanlanguagegrid.eu website. Maybe I can zoom a bit so that you can, should be good now. So we are in the live.europeanlanguagegrid.eu/catalog website. Here we are in the main website web page of the catalog. You can see we have plenty of resources. We have more than almost 700 pages. And here on the left, we are all the facets that you can use to search for a specific resource. So first of all, we can see all the different resource types we have. So as I said, corpus, tool services, lexical, conceptual resource, models, grammars, etc. We also have organizations and projects. Basically, if I click on that, it will filter the EAG resources to only show me the corpora we have in EAG. You can also use the full text search here. You can filter by the intent in LT application. So we have most of the NLP and speech tasks represented here. You can see there is a lot of them. You can use that to search for a specific task. You can also filter by the language you are looking for. You can search for official EU languages, but also for any language. You can filter by the media type, the license, the condition of use, and something more interesting. Let me just remove that. So as I said, we have more than 6,000 corpora, for example, but not all of those corpora are contain data hosted in EAG, but some of them, yes. So if you want to filter and only see the datasets that have data directly accessible through EAG, so data that is hosted by EAG, you can click on that filter and it will show you only the resources and the datasets which have data in EAG. Same for services. If you want to see services compatible with EAG, it is how we call them, which means services deployed in ERG that you can use and test from the ERG catalog. You can use that filter here. Let's now look to a resource page. So let's, for example, took that dataset here, which is an Italian dataset. So now we are on the resource page, which is basically the user interface for the metadata schema I was talking about. We have a description of the resource. We have some keywords, some tags that are used to search for that resources. We also have information about the corpus. Something really interesting here is that we have information about which organization funded that resource, which project funded that resource. We also have link to papers that could describe the resource, name of the creators, and so on. And if we click to this link, so here it says that resource, so that dataset has been funded by the European Language Grid project itself, but also by the Italian Evalita benchmark project. So if we click on that, we will go to another ERG resource, which is that time a project. And what is interesting is that, as you can see, ERG resources can be linked together so that you know which project funded which resource, and for each resource we can see which project or which organization created that resource. So that was a quick overview of the catalog. Let's now look at three use cases I found interesting, and to demonstrate what you can do with the European Language Grid catalog. So there is a lot more thing you can do with the ERG catalog, but we will today focus on those three use cases because we don't have a lot of time. So the first one is I will show you how you can use the ERG catalog, like as Georg said, as Yellow Pages to find your next business partner, let's say. The second use case is you search for specific datasets because you need one dataset for your next research project. And the third use case is you are a company and you need to use a NLP tool for your application. And so you can use ERG to find this tool that you are needed. So let's go back to the catalog and see how you can use ERG to find your next business partner and to find a company that you want to collaborate with. So let's say you are looking to integrate some sentiment analysis tool in your application, and so you want to collaborate with a company which is doing this kind of stuff. So what we can do is we can use the service functions facets, search for sentiment analysis. So here it will filter all the resources that plays with sentiment analysis. Then what we can do is say that we want a tool, for example, and we want it in German. And then here we see that we have 39 results. So it says that in the ERG catalog, we have 39 tools for German sentiment analysis. Now we can browse the catalog and choose one of that tool. Let's say we want to see this one. So Cogito Discover Sentiment Analysis. We can click on the resource and we will access the resource page. And from here, we can read the description, make sure it corresponds to what we want to do. So here we want to do German sentiment analysis, which is what this tool is doing. It's well for German, it's well sentiment analysis, so that's perfect. And now we want to get in touch with the company behind that tool. So what we can do is look at the resource provider of that resource, click on the link, and it will redirect to the ERG page of that organization. And then from here, we can read the description of the organization. And if we want to get in touch with that organization, we can simply go to the website and then send an email or something like that. But what I wanted to show you here is that as in ERG, there is a link between LT resources and technologies and organization and project. That's really easy to browse the ERG, the European landscape of organization and project to find someone you can collaborate with. So that's really easy to find every company that are working, that are doing sentiment analysis in German, for example, which is not easy in a usual search engine, for example. Let's now talk about the second use case, which is you are a researcher and you are looking for a new data set for your next research project. Let's say your research project is about question answering for Italian. So what we can do again, so we are in the catalog, I remove all the filters. I can search for question answering here. Oh. Yeah. I don't know why there is no more resources. Question answering, where is it? Okay, it should have a lot more resources, so I will not do question answering. I don't know why there is not more resources for question answering, but doesn't matter. So let's say I search for a corpus for Italian. What I also want is that I want the data directly available through ERG. So I will check that filter. I want the data to be hosted inside the ERG cluster. And then I can search for my application. So now I can click question answering. And now I can see the data sets I was looking for. So here I can see all the data sets that are hosted in ERG and for Italian question answering. Then I can select the one I prefer. I can have a look to the two datasets available, but let's see, I choose this one. Again, I'm accessing the resource page. I can see all the information about the dataset, see who funded that, which project. I can read the paper who introduced that dataset. But most more interesting, I can access the download page. So if I click on that, I will access the download tab of that resource. And from here, I have information about the dataset itself. So the size, here I can see it's almost 3,000 text in that dataset, the format, and also the license. So here I can see that the license is the dataset is open source, so I can download it and use it for my research project. And to download it, I only have to click to that download button and it will start the downloading and I found my resource. So what we what I showed you is that again with ERG and the ERG catalog, that's really easy to find a dataset, to find what you are looking for. What I simply wanted to show you is that, so I click on that button, so ERG hosted data, which means I selected the datasets with data directly inside ERG accessible through our download button, but that's not the case for every ERG dataset. So I can quickly show you how it looks for other datasets. So here I have selected a dataset which is not hosted in ERG, but simply we have a metadata record for that resource so that it can be found through ERG. But to download it, you need to click on this access location link and it will redirect you to the page where you can download the dataset or the corpora. So we can now move to the third use case, which is you are a company and you need to, you want to find an NLP tool to help you in your application. So let's say you have chatbots and you want to add the capability of your chatbot to speak to your user. So you need a text-to-speech service for English, let's say. So again, I'm in the ERG catalog page and I can filter for what I'm looking for. So here I'm looking for a text-to-speech service for English. And again, I have many results and from here I can choose the one I prefer. So I can see this one is a ERG compatible service, which means it is a service deployed in the ERG infrastructure. And so I will choose this one because we will be able to test it. So again, here's a resource page, information about the resource itself. There is now not only the download tab, but a download tab, a tryout tab, and a code samples tab. If we click to the on the download tab, you have access to some information about the tool itself. So here we can see it's a Docker image. Again, the tool is open source, so you can freely use it. And from the tryout tab, we can test it. But to test this service, we need to be logged in. So we can simply do that. We click on that button. If you are you don't have an account yet, you can register. You simply need to fill that form, but I will quickly log in. So now that I'm logged in, we can test the service. So let's say, I don't know, we are doing a presentation for the ERG catalog, and then I can submit my request. So what it will do is it will do a post request to the ERG APIs, and it will call the service which is deployed inside our infrastructure. So I will get the response back. I don't think you can hear the response, but you will need to trust me. Basically, it's an audio of someone telling we are doing a presentation for the ERG catalog. That's it. So if we are happy with that tool, so if after having done a bit of tests, we found that tool really interesting. We can simply use it via the ERG APIs or download the Docker image and use it on your own infrastructure. Sorry. Okay. So we have seen through those three use cases that with the ERG catalog, you can basically search for anything which is related to language, technology, and resources. It can be tools, corpora, organization, projects, whatever. We tried with ERG to put everything in that one place, which is the ERG catalog. let's now talk about about the ERG APIs. So everything I showed you is the user interface of EAG, so the website. But under the hood, everything I showed you, browsing the catalog, testing and calling LT services or downloading resources, everything is powered by our APIs. So there is an API for everything. You can search via the API. You can get information about a specific EAG resource using our API. You can make a call to our services using our API. You can download our resources via our API. So what I would like to show you is how you can do a simple call to our API for, let's say, a name entity recognition service. So let's search for a name entity recognition service. We will choose one deployed in EAG. Let's say that one. I will test it online just to show you. Let's say I will test with this sentence. So if I submit that, I will have a response back from the service with two annotations. First one is people and the second one in place, which is what we want. So now in the consumables tab, you have an example how to use that service using the EAG API. So we will do that. First of all, I need to copy paste that token. Because as I said, I need to be authenticated to do call to the service API. So I'll simply need to store that token here. So I will have my token stored here, and then I can do my request to the API. So we will use the same sentence. And I will copy paste the link of this service. So here what I'm doing is I'm doing a post request with my authentication token, with my text to the API endpoint of this particular service, which is a name entity recognition service. And if I'm press enter, I will obtain a response back, which is an annotation response with two tags. First one is people, and the second one is a place, which is well friends. So I obtained the exact same response that I obtained here, but this time using the EAG API. And last thing I also would like to show you is the Python SDK. So as I said, we have many APIs and we created EAG Python SDK so that you can use those APIs really easily in Python. So I have here a notebook, and in that notebook, we can see what you can do with a Python SDK. So here it showcases only the basic features of the Python SDK, but that will be it for today. So first of all, what you can do is you can browse the catalog, not using the user interface of EAG, but using some Python code. So here we can search for a tool and service for machine translation for English and French. Here, as we can see, we will have a result. So here I only print the first results, but we have a list of results. What we can also do is to use EAG services directly from Python. So if I go back to my name entity recognition service, I can see here in the code samples tab that we have an example how to use it in Python. So I'm doing exactly the same here. I'm creating a service from the ID of the tool, and then I'm calling the service with some input. And if I press it, it will first ask to authenticate myself, because again, we need to be logged in order to use ERG services. I simply need to copy paste my token, and then I will have the response back. And again, we have our two tags, people and place, so it's working well. And last thing I would like to show you is you can also download a corporate directly from Python. So if I press it, I will download this corpus, which is shared for 10 languages. It will simply ask if I accept the license, because this corpus is not open source. So you can open the license, make sure it fits with your usage of the corpus, and then you can download it. Really easy. You can do, of course, a lot more with the Python SDK, but those are the main usage. Okay. Let's go back to the slide. Just to conclude this tour of the ERG catalog, I would like to talk just a bit about the provider side of ERG. So everything I showed you is how you can use ERG as a consumer. So how you can search for companies, how you can download a corpus, how you can run services, test services, and so on. But what you can also do with ERG is to provide resources to ERG. So you can create a page for your company. You can make your datasets available through ERG. You can deploy your services in ERG so that everyone can test them, can use them. It's also a great place to promote your tools and your corpora. So everything is easy to do. First of all, you only need to ask to become a provider, because when you register to ERG, by default, you are only a consumer, and to become a provider, you simply need to ask that. And then we have what we call a metadata editor, which is basically a big form. And using that form, you can create every type of ERG resource. That's very easy. It only takes a couple of minutes. And also what is really interesting for you is that you can host your data in ERG, whatever the size of your data. You can host it in ERG, and also you can deploy your services inside ERG, which is very useful if you want to showcase your services. And if I have just a couple of minutes, maybe I can quickly show you what you can do with ERG, some more advanced usage, just in 2 minutes. First of all, what you can do is, as ERG services are Docker images deployed in our infrastructure, what you can do is you can run those Docker images locally and create a kind of ERG local installation so that the services are working on your machine locally, which is what I did here. It's really easy to do with the Python SDK, just to show you that you can use ERG only to find resources, and then you can use those resources via the ERG API, but also without dealing with ERG anymore. You can just take the tool and run it on your local machine. That's working, and that's great. And also something we built recently is this ERG translate thing. So we used all the empty system available in ERG, and with that we created a kind of code translate thing, but using ERG services, so that you can test the empty systems available in ERG. So if I tap, I have no idea, but So here it will translate that sentence to Ukrainian, and under the hood, this application is using the ERG APIs. So just wanted to show you that you can build stuff and interesting applications using ERG. That being said, I would like to thank you for your attention, and if you have any question, we will be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Remy and Georg, for this interesting talk. Are there questions in the room?
Thanks for your talk, first of all. That was really interesting. For the services, for example, the example you showed in the latter part of your talk that require authorization, is there already a policy how this will work in the future? Like, how would you get hold of the authorization? Is there a pricing policy? How would it work, for example, for non-commercial content providers to use these services? Because currently, that will also be part of the topic of the next talk, many of the mainstream commercial services, like speech-to-text services or similar, are kind of out of reach, especially for smaller outlets. If the pricing is by the minute, it's just not feasible oftenly if you have a large archive of content to make use of these tools. So I would be interested in how this is, if there already is a strategy how this should work with the European language grid.
Yes, I can briefly say a few words about this. It is indeed a challenge and complicated. I mentioned that we will establish the Eingetragener Verein that will take over operations and maintenance of ELG. We are still in the process of developing the sustainability plan. We have most of the ingredients in place. We have defined about 24 different products that we will hopefully run and start. I don't know, not all of them at the same time, of course, but with a soft launch, we have a number of products defined for LT API access, for provision of resources, and so on. And we need to find the right balance and strike the right balance between industrial use, academic use, NGO use, and so on, so that it is feasible for everybody involved. Yeah. So, of course, we want this to be an umbrella platform for the whole community. There will be different price points for industry versus academic use. That's totally clear. We are trying to do eventually, we don't know if it's feasible from the start, but we are trying to do academic use for free and industry use for a fee. And how this completely plays out is not set in stone yet. The good news is that for the time being, the platform is, let's say, financed in terms of operating the cloud infrastructure. We have funding for that. So we can be a bit more relaxed with regard to the start of the points you mentioned, which will also require more discussion within the whole community. I hope that answers your question.
And just a quick comment. So currently, if you register as a consumer on ERG, you have 1,500 calls per day. So you can already test services a lot.
Yes, I forgot to mention that. True. Mm-hmm.
I have a question regarding the catalog and download API. Did you look at CCAN, and how does your API compare with their API?
I'm sorry, but I'm not the one who built that, and I won't be able to respond to.
Yeah, we had a look at CCAN. Should be fairly similar. I don't know if they are 100% compatible, but they are fairly similar.
Okay, thanks.
I think there are not any more questions for now. So thanks for your talk. And there's online discussion going on, so there could come questions up later on. This and the other talks will be available at media.cc.de. Yes, thanks, Remy and Georg, for your time.
Thanks for the invitation. Enjoy the rest of the day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.